Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
oh what joy they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we come before you, Father, and into your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this, your word, so that we can have greater knowledge and wisdom, Father, to walk straighter and to be able to reach out and help others along the way. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study this morning. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be... pardon me. In the sixth chapter, the last chapter of Ephesians. Now, starting here with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You see, he's talking about in the Lord. This phrase, grammatical, does not modify parents, where this would mean that only Christian parents are to be obeyed. But rather the phrase goes with obedience. That is, those parental instructions, whether from Christians or non-Christian parents that are in line with the Lord's will. You see, children are supposed to obey their parents unless their parents is trying to get them to do things that is against the will of Almighty God. Sometimes that happens. Now, but he does not leave the parents out either. Now, as we go on here in verses 2 and 3, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment. 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Honor means have inward respect and reverence for it. It is inadequate for children to obey parents only outwardly. They must also respect and honor them inwardly, which is the first commandment with promise. You know, the fifth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, chapter 20, verse 3 through 17, is the very first of all of God's Old Testament instructions to be given that possesses an attached promise. And the promise is twofold: honoring and obeying. Parents ensures a long and a prosperous life upon the earth. Now, 4. Ye and ye, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature and admonition of the Lord. And he's telling us there that you and I are not to cause our children to anger. And that can be caused by a lot of things. Injustice, loss of our temper, undue severity, cruelty, favoritism, suppression, sarcasm, ridicule, and misuse or abuse of authority. Nature basically means training, here denoting spiritual education. And admonish is instruction, pardon me, that points out one's responsibilities and duties. And of the Lord is in Greek a subjective genitive. And this indicates that behind the parents' rearing and instructions of their children stands the Lord as the chief teacher in child education. Parents do not rear children alone, for they're not supposed to. But those that are not believing in the Lord, that's what's happening, and that's what's happening mostly all around us today. Or the parents would not be letting our government and our school system take their children and do whatever they want to do with them. They would be standing up and standing against them and looking out for their child and their children. 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. He's calling us servants and all. He's saying, servant, be obedient to them that are your masters. But today, we don't have that. What we have, we are employees and employers. But it means the same thing. That our employers, according to the flesh, major human employers, and the employees are too, carry out their duties with fear and trembling. That is, with careful concern to do a good job and with reverence and respect for their masters. And singleness of your heart refers to a mental disposition and attitude that renders obedience out of sincerity, not hypocrisy, as unto Christ, explains why the employees should obey their employers in the manner described here. Obedience rendered to their masters is obedience unto Christ. You see, we are to do everything we do, our work and all, is to be done as if we were working and doing those things unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And most don't want to do that, not today. But one day, they're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to be letting them know where they have fallen short. Now, 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Singleness of heart, our sincere disposition, excludes eye service. That is duty performed only when the master or your employer is watching. But it includes doing the will of God from the heart. That is enthusiastic service coming from within and not having to be coerced by external pressure. Now, you see, the more that we study the Word of God, and the further we get through the New Testament, the more we find it out how much we lack, that we need to be straightening out and bringing into our lives in order to make heaven our home and to receive the rewards and things that God has for us. 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That goodwill strictly means good intentions. And the Christian servant, or that employee rather, seeks the best interest of his employer. Now, 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be he received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And the basis for the employee's good intentions toward his employer is his being recompensed by the Lord, both in this life and in the one to come, the same good he has performed in his employee's duties. Now, 9. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. These earthly employers and masters are to behave in a reciprocal manner toward their employees with respect, sincerity, and careful concern. For these earthly employers have a heavenly master who will judge them without partiality. You see, they're not left out either. God did not leave them out at all. 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says finally there in 10, that's where he starts. May be rendered from now on or henceforth. The spiritual battle Christians are engaged in exists from now on until the Lord. There is no quarter given, no ceasefire, no temporary truce, no cessation of hostilities from now on till the end. There is all out war. The remainder of the verse may be paraphrased. Let yourselves constantly be strengthened by the Lord, more precisely by his mighty power. We all know that we get our strength and our guidance and all from him. That is those that are serving him, those that are walking as his brothers, that have been born again into the family of Almighty God. Now, 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh boy. We know that there are things for you and I to put on in order to be able to stand as the child of the living God. Here in 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, pardon me, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, there in 13, that wherefore means because of this. That is, because we face such a formidable foe, we must avail ourselves of God's provision, lest the enemy destroy our Christian witness and ministry. The evil day refers to periodic onslaughts and Satan's assaults. Having done all includes both dressing oneself in God's armor and resisting Satan. Have done all these, be ready, for the devil will attack again and again. And that's why we are told to stand. Now, 14. As we read, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, there's a lot in that. 14 through 17, covering what we need of the armor of Almighty God. And it will let us know why. That whole armor of God consists of six pieces. Now, one is true, which is a knowledge of the truth of God's word. The ancient soldiers' loins and waist were girded about with a leather belt, which held most of the other pieces of his armor in place. Generally, the other pieces of the Christian's armor depends on and are held in place by his spiritual belt or his knowledge of the truth of Scripture. Now, the breastplate of righteousness may be read the breastplate which is righteousness. It represents a holy character and moral conduct, obedience to the truth. Known produces a godly life in righteousness. Now, three, preparation of the gospel of peace means eagerness that comes from the gospel of peace. That is, as the Roman soldiers wore special shoes called calique on the feet, enabling him to advance against his enemies, so the Christian must have on his feet a sense of eagerness or willingness to advance against the devil and take the fight to him. Such eagerness to contend with Satan comes from the gospel of peace. You see, the gospel gives peace to the believer, freeing him from anxiety, though he advanced against such a powerful opponent. Four, the shield of which is faith means taking God at his word by believing his promises. Such trust will protect one from doubts induced by Satan. And the helmet of salvation, since the readers are already Christians, they are not here urged to be saved. Thessalonians 5:8 describes this helmet as the hope of salvation. That is the certainty, assurance of salvation. And six, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Greek term rendered word is not logos, referring to the whole word of God, but rhema, referring to certain portions or selected verses of Scripture. All right. That's what we read there from 14 through 17. Now, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. We are to be praying, and that praying is grammatically linked to stand in verse 14. Without prayer, God's armor is inadequate to achieve victory. Prayer is indispensable and always means on every occasion. That is when Satan attacks in the Spirit, signifies that with the Spirit's help, such prayers for divine aid is to be made. And watching thereunto means being vigilant in this very matter of prayer. They are to pray not just for themselves, but also for all saints. Spiritual combat is both an individual and a cooperative matter. You see, there's not much of our time and many of our prayers to be prayed just individually. They are to include others, because we should be remembering others always. Now, 19, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And Paul seeks their prayers in his behalf, that he may boldly make known the gospel and speak it boldly as it ought to be preached. And you see, this is exactly what we are to do today, but very few are doing it. Very few are actually speaking the truth of God's word, because they are not bold enough to do it. They are afraid that they'll lose people, that people will be talking about them, and they don't want that. But you see, we're not put here to please man. We are put here and called to be men of God, men and women of God, that will please him and not mankind. We are to help mankind, and we are to love mankind. But we're not here to just please them. We're here to please the Lord God. And that means to speak his word in truth and be bold about it. Don't back up. Because it does not matter what man thinks of me or what man says about me. It's what God thinks of me and what he has to say about me and to me. Think about this. 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. 22. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. 23. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. and end with amen, as he usually does. And we are finished with the book of Ephesians. God willing, we'll be getting into Philippians. All right. Now, I have some things that I need to share with you. I have asked my two associate pastors, Kenny Powers and Dennis Lee, to be here this evening with me. And I'd like it if they would come a little early, because Satan is coming against the church in this ministry very strongly. And there is some things that I am needing help with, or we will lose this church in this ministry. Now, and he's using our state government to do it. though they may not think about what it costs. Now, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close your word, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, you know what I'm facing, what this ministry is facing. This ministry is yours, Father, not man, but yours. So may I receive the help that I need, Father, in order to keep things right, straight. Now, Father, I pray for Israel and this land in which we live. I pray for peace for both. And also I pray, Father, for all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, I pray for all the saints, wherever they are in this world, and ask the Holy Spirit to work with them to see for their needs. Keep them in health and keep them on the road of sharing the gospel wherever they are, and keep them safe. Now, Father, for those of this ministry and those that listen to us, I pray, Father, that they all are in health, in good health, and that you, Father, will keep them that way and keep them safe through this day as we separate, Father, and bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Father, and back into your word, by your will and your way. Father, be with us, keeping us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Have a great day.